Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Yatra Online Q1 FY26 earnings conference call, hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Biplab Debbarma from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Manav. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Q1 FY26 earnings call of Yatra Online, hosted by Antique Stock Broking. Please note, certain statements made during this call may be forward-looking in nature and are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially. Today, we have with us the management of the company, represented by Mr. Dhruv Shringi, Whole-time Director and CEO, Mr. Anuj Sethi, Chief Financial Officer. Without further ado, let me hand over the call to Mr. Dhruv Shringi. Over to you, Dhruv.
Thank you, Biplab, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us to discuss our first quarter financial year 26 earnings. I'm pleased to share that our first quarter performance delivered strong financial and operational results, with growth well ahead of our annual guidance, despite the disruption in the travel industry in India on account of cross-border tension and the unfortunate air crash in June 2025. This momentum was driven by sustained demand in business travel and strong execution across our platforms. For Q1 FY26, we are pleased to report revenue of ₹209 million, up 108% year-over-year, revenue less service cost for the quarter of ₹115.6 crores, up 44% year-over-year. Our growth in revenue and gross margins reflects the momentum we have in our corporate business and in the higher margin hotels and packages business on account of continued momentum in MICE and standalone hotel cross-selling to existing customers. Notably, our profitability metrics underscore our disciplined execution. EBITDA for the quarter at ₹24.2 crores was up 247% year-over-year, and PAT was up almost four times to ₹16 crores. Our adjusted EBITDA of ₹24.9 crores was up 138% year-over-year, with 21% EBITDA margin. Our gross margin and adjusted EBITDA growth rates for the quarter were significantly ahead of our annual guidance of 20% growth for gross margin and 30% growth for adjusted EBITDA. These results reaffirm the strength and sustainability of our business model, as well as our commitment to delivering value to our shareholders. The corporate travel market is expected to reach around $20 billion by FY27. However, online penetration in this segment remains low at just around 20% in FY24, compared to almost 45% for the overall travel industry in India. This indicates substantial headroom for digital adoption across the corporate travel industry. Online penetration is accelerating, driven by rapid adoption of digital booking platforms and the uptake of self-booking tools and integrated expense management solutions as they continue to rise across the corporate segment. In the lodging space, branded hotels and curated packages are witnessing increasing demand for both leisure and MICE travelers, supported by improving supply, better service standards, and a growing preference for experiential stays. Overall, this large and expanding market, coupled with increasing digital adoption, presents a significant opportunity for Yatra, particularly in the under-penetrated corporate segment. Our corporate travel sector continues to deliver strong momentum for Yatra. In Q1, we onboarded 34 new corporate clients, collectively adding an annual billing potential of approximately ₹200 crores. On the B2C front as well, we continue to make good progress on rationalizing our cost of acquisition and finding avenues to scale profitably. B2C bookings were more impacted by the macro events of the quarter, as I mentioned earlier, and declined marginally year-over-year. Had it not been for the effect of these macro events, it was likely that B2C gross bookings would also have registered a marginal increase year-over-year. On the technology front, we introduced a more refined user interface, which makes it easier to upsell branded fares across airlines. These fares offer unique airline-specific fare options bundled with benefits such as baggage allowance, seats, and flexible changes. This allows us to be able to cross-sell and upsell more value-added products to the customer. And as you would know, these value-added products typically carry higher margin for us. We have also recently launched the beta version of our AI assistant, DIA, which stands for Digital Intelligent Yatra Advisor, which assists customers not only for the usual customer servicing queries, but also helps refine the search and help book personalized travel products. AI-enabled servicing will provide us with further operating leverage in the quarters to come, and a more refined search process should enable us to attract new customers. Early indications are that we would be able to optimize the work of about 70 to 100 people by the end of this fiscal year, and about 200 people by the end of next fiscal year. Additionally, our expense management solution offers an end-to-end travel and expense solution with Gen AI-powered receipt parsing, ERP integration, and advanced analytics and visualization, and it continues to get very positive feedback from its initial customers. In sales and marketing, we continue to amplify partner offers from banks and airlines through our own media and social, our own marketing and social media channels, ensuring consistent visibility and engagement. Our content marketing initiatives further strengthen brand reach with compelling travel stories, seasonal campaigns, and milestone celebrating that resonate with our audiences. We also executed innovative brand collaborations with leading consumer brands, Maggi being one of the more prominent ones, delivering impactful outdoor campaigns and co-branded experiences that capture attention and drove conversion. As we look ahead, we see strong, sustained growth opportunities driven by rising digital adoption across both leisure and corporate travel segments. Yatra is well positioned to capture this growth through our expanding corporate client base, enhanced technology offerings, and a growing share of high-margin hotels and packages business and MICE business. We remain committed to disciplined cost management, profitably scaling and delivering long-term value to our shareholders, while strengthening our competitive edge in the evolving global travel ecosystem. Thank you, everyone, and I will now request our CFO, Anuj Sethi, to brief you on the financial performance for the quarter under review. Anuj?
Thank you, Dhruv. Good morning, everyone. For the first quarter of financial year 2026, on consolidated basis, our revenue from operations grew 108% year-on-year to INR 2098 million, driven by continued momentum across key segments, including robust growth in our hotels and packages business and a meaningful contribution from our MICE business. Our gross margins defined as revenue-less service cost rose 44% year-on-year to INR 1156 million, underscoring the strength of our diversified business model. Adjusted EBITDA surged 138% year-on-year to INR 249 million, translating to a healthy 21% EBITDA to gross margin ratio. As a result, profit after tax increased 300% year-on-year to INR 160 million. In terms of segmental performance, our air ticketing passenger volumes declined 9% year-on-year to about 1206,000. However, gross air booking grew 4% year-on-year to 14103 million. And our gross margins rose 54% year-on-year to 647 million, with margins improving from 3.10% to 4.60%. Under hotels and packages segment, hotel room nights grew marginally by 1% year-on-year to 423,000. Gross bookings increased 43% year-on-year to INR 3433 million, while the gross margins expanded 74% year-on-year to INR 311 million, with the margin improving from 7.46% to 9.05%. While macroeconomic headwinds and the recent air crash impacted volumes in both segments, we successfully delivered higher revenue and stronger margins. On the liquidity front, cash and cash equivalents and term deposits stood at INR 2208 million as of 30th June 2025, as compared to INR 1906 million as of 31st March 2025. Gross debt has been significantly reduced from INR 546 million as of 31st March 2025 to just INR 29 million as of 30th June 2025. With this, I would like to hand it back to the moderator and open up for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Anmol Garg from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on good profitability. Just a couple of things that I wanted to understand. Firstly, in this quarter, we have seen a strong growth in the take rate, both on sequential and by-and-by basis. So what has led to this? Is there any value-added product that is particularly scaling up in our business?
Hi, Anmol. Good morning. Good morning. So if I look at, you know, from a take rate point of view, firstly, referring to the air take rates year over year have improved by about 50 basis points. But if I look at from a gross margin to net margin ratio, that net margin ratio, as Anuj mentioned, has improved from 3.1 to 4.6%. It's been driven by two factors. First, optimization of discounting. So we've been working quite closely with our banking partners and other, marketing partners and affiliate partners through whom we are able to now drive customer acquisition without needing to discount to the same level from our side. So that's definitely a big driver for improving our overall net margin. And then what's also happened is, you know, as more and more airlines are seeing the kind of growth that we are delivering on corporate travel side, we are able to get some higher margins for value-added products that we are cross-selling or the higher fares that we are cross-selling, right? So I think we've discussed this in the past as well, that the average ticket size on business travel is about 1.5 times higher than the average ticket size on the retail platform. So airlines are quite keen to get a larger share of business travel. And given that in this quarter, especially we saw softness in the overall B2C demand, we were able to work closely with our airline partners to be able to focus on growing the corporate travel piece. So it's a combination of optimization of discounting on the B2C side and a higher mix on the corporate side where margins are better from a net retention point of view that drove this improvement.
Understood, understood. Usually what happens here is that our B2C take rates are usually higher on a gross basis, not on a net basis, but on a gross basis our B2C take rates are higher, and on a gross basis only our take rates have improved in this quarter. But you're saying that this is not from the B2C business, right?
A smaller part of it is from the B2C business. A larger part is coming from the corporate travel business. Because what's happening is that the corporate travel business is growing, it's allowing us to achieve higher PLB thresholds, higher earning thresholds from the airlines.
Understood, understood. Okay. Secondly, wanted to understand that now we have achieved decent profitability in this quarter. Any guidance for the full year profitability that you are giving both on the EBITDA and the PAT side, and also any guidance on the revenue side as well?
So the guidance that we had given last time around, right, we had given a 20% growth guidance on gross margin and 30% growth for adjusted EBITDA. We remain firm on that, you know, and we would let our numbers do the talking. But we are very confident of achieving our guidance and continue to outperform.
Right. So can we expect going ahead some improvement in the B2C part of the business as well?
So as I mentioned, Anmol, had it not been for the, you know, events, unfortunate events that happened in the month of May and June, B2C also would have started seeing growth. We are seeing definitely post that recovery continue to happen after a short, you know, disruption of about 30 to 35 days. We've seen growth coming back in the B2C segment as well. So my sense at least is that B2C also will continue to recover at a healthy momentum.
Understood. And lastly, Dhruv, wanted to understand that in this quarter, we have seen sequential jump up in the hotel and packages gross bookings. But if I look at the service cost, that has actually dipped in this quarter, which is a little contrast. So just wanted to understand that what has led to the same.
So this has been led by the cross-sell of hotels to our existing corporate customers. So there, it's not MICE which has driven this. So for MICE, as you would recall, seasonally, this is still a weaker quarter, right? But we've had new customer wins on the corporate side. Those customers have been hotel-led customers. So the implementation of those customers is what is giving us the increase in terms of gross bookings of standalone hotels.
Understood. Sure, Dhruv. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nitin Padmanabhan from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Congrats on a very solid quarter. Two questions from my end. So one is, through last year, as we pivoted from consumer to corporate, obviously, we have seen the overall air volume sort of come off, obviously at better profitability. But do you think, considering we are now crossed Q1 and now you have sort of rebased, you think from here on we should start seeing volume growth as well on a year-on-year basis?
Hi, Nitin. Firstly, thank you. And yes, we would definitely look at volume growth from here on in the overall air segment now. We've begun to see some kind of flatlining to marginal growth on the B2C side. So the decline which was there all of last year is no longer going to be the case going forward. And corporate, obviously, we are seeing volume growth happening. So we should see volume growth happening on air as well going forward.
Perfect. And when we look at the service cost for Q1 and basically compare that with maybe Q2 of last year, it's maybe Q2 of last year was 49% higher. And fair to assume that Q2 seasonality obviously is going to be, from a MICE perspective, will be very strong. And even if one sort of assumes that there is some drop in take rate, which can obviously happen through the course of the year, still you should be able to sort of deliver from a profitability perspective.
So Nitin, you're absolutely right. Q2 should be a much stronger quarter for MICE. And yes, we expect that our profitability levels, we've defined the baseline now, and we should be able to grow from here. But what I would look at this is, I would look at this on a more annualized basis. So quarters will have seasonal impact, but at least from an annualized basis, we are very, very confident that our business should continue to trend in the right direction from a profitability point of view. The advantage which we have now is, given the higher mix of corporate business, there is much more stability of earnings, right? So there is much lesser volatility in the overall earnings, which we had seen when we were more B2C skewed.
Correct. Perfect. Perfect. That's pretty helpful. I'll come back for a follow-up. Thanks, Nitin. All the very best.
Thank you, Nitin.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Mokshankar from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question was, if I see your gross booking for FY23, 24, 25, so all those years, mostly the gross bookings have been, there has not been much growth. They have mostly been flat. So when do we see gross bookings increasing from here?
So if you look at on a Q-on-Q basis, sorry, year-over-year basis in the current quarter, gross bookings have grown in this quarter year-over-year, right? So that's the first time we've seen, after some what I would call stabilization, we've seen a 9% growth in terms of gross bookings this year in the Q1 versus Q1 of last year. Going forward, as I was responding to Nitin as well, right, we should see improvement happening and growth happening in gross bookings also. This was, over the last couple year or so, more on account of rebalancing of our business mix between B2C and corporate. Now that we are lapping that, we will begin to see growth in terms of gross bookings as well.
Okay. And if I see, if I see for the corporate side, for growth we need working capital, and that's the reason we have negative cash flow. So do you have any guidance of when we can turn cash flow positive?
See, if I look at, you know, last fiscal year also, we were positive in terms of cash flow. Even in the current quarter, you know, we would be positive when it comes to cash flow as well. So while you're right that, you know, the corporate business does consume working capital, but, you know, we are at a size and scale today in terms of profitability where the internal accruals being generated are taking care of the working capital needs. Now, there might be some blips quarter on quarter, which will be there. So if we sign up a large corporate customer, for example, or there's a large MICE which is happening closer to the cutoff period, there might be some aberration on account of that. But on a consistent basis, we feel, you know, from a working capital point of view, our profits should be able to take care of the working capital requirements. I mean, if I look at last year, you know, we had about, that was our first full year of positive working capital as well from operations of about 7.3 crores.
Okay. And so if I look at, we had plans for launching a corporate card, and I think it's for the H2 of this year. So apart from that, the rationale for launching the corporate card was reducing the working capital intensity. So are we taking any other initiatives of reducing, for example, the days outstanding or any other things to reduce our working capital so that we don't have much risk on our balance sheet and we can transfer that risk to somebody else?
So there are definitely, you know, some conversations which we are undergoing at this point of time to see how we can optimize for this working capital. As you mentioned, you know, working on business travel cards, migrating more customers to the card platform, those are definitely some of the more low-hanging fruits that we are pushing at this point of time. But there are other solutions as well which we are evaluating, which, you know, we feel will help us optimize our working capital requirements as we go forward.
Okay, and the last question was regarding our corporate, we are increasing our mix of corporate customers and there is no penetration, but still the growth in gross bookings have not been that substantial as we compare to any other OTA players. So do you think that corporate as a customer is a low growth customer base for us, and for high growth also we might have to stretch our working capital and it increases the risk in the balance sheet. So how exactly are we planning to grow from it?
Yeah. So firstly, just to again clarify, what you see as the blended average growth rate includes the B2C business as well, right? And like I had explained earlier, our B2C business was still marginally negative in terms of growth rate. So the corporate business overall will be growing closer to 20%+ in terms of gross bookings. The difference out here on the corporate side is that unlike, let's say, B2C, corporate offers very strong operating leverage. So 20% growth in gross bookings will result in 35-40% growth in terms of EBITDA. So that is the advantage of the corporate business. Now, corporate business, because it's a technology-led implementation cycle that we go through, yes, it's not going to have as high a growth rate as B2C. On the B2C side, if you do a high degree of discounting, you do a high degree of consumer marketing, you can always drive high volume growth or gross booking growth, but the profitability impact of that is not going to be as positive, right? Whereas on the corporate side, you build out a more defensible platform by implementing technology solutions which are integrated within your corporate customers that entail a much longer lifetime value, and that platform drives much better operating leverage. So there is obviously a certain amount of trade-off just because of the nature of the business between growth and profitability. Corporate provides maybe slightly lower growth, but more stable profitability and a much more, you know, longer lifetime value of the customer.
Okay, thank you for the detailed answer. I'll get back in the queue.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Manik Taneja from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Dhruv, I just wanted to pick your thoughts around the improvement in profitability that we are witnessing as the business pivots away. and you've been talking about our margins as a percentage of revenue less service cost or the conversion from gross profits to EBITDA, which have been around the 20-21% levels over recent quarters. If you could give your thoughts as to how do you think this dynamics or these margins evolve over the medium term, and what do you think is the North Star in terms of these margins going forward? That's question number one. The second question is if you could also help us understand your confidence in sustaining the growth momentum outside of the acquisition-related tailwinds that we've enjoyed over the course of recent quarters.
Hi, Manik. So, firstly, in terms of the gross margins, right, our gross margin to EBITDA ratio, which is currently at about 21%, we think in the, you know, near term, right, so let's say in a 12 to 18 month horizon, we should be able to get this to 25%. And in a under 36 month period, we do expect this to be closer to 30%. In terms of North Star, having seen people who are operating at high amount of scale, right, people like bookings.com and some other players like Navan, which are doing more of a technology-led corporate business, we would expect this number to be somewhere around the 35% kind of mark as the North Star that we are chasing. But in the near term, we should be able to get to 25% before getting to 30%.
Sure.
And in terms of on the growth rate side as well, right? So as I mentioned that on the B2C side, we are beginning to see, you know, offshoots of growth coming through on the B2C side. So my expectation would be that we would start seeing gross booking growth as well in the second half of this year, which will take care of the tailwind from the acquisition as well. So that will then be all organic growth that you will see in the second half of the year. So we are not very far from that. We are already trending well in that direction.
Sure. And if you could call out the impact of the Globe acquisition in terms of our financials for the current year, if you were to do a like-to-like comparison?
See, if we were to do a like-for-like as well, our growth rates would not have been, I mean, our growth rates, again, we don't call out Globe separately, but if I was to look at organic EBITDA growth also, you would see those numbers being in the very high double digits.
Sure.
So 60-70% plus kind of growth rate, right? Even more, yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Wish you all the best.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to take questions from all participants in the conference, please restrict yourself to only two questions per participant. We request you, if you have any follow-up questions, to rejoin the queue and go ahead with the questions. We have our next question from the line of Chirag Kachadia from Ashika Group. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Chirag. We
can. Yes, Chirag.
Yeah. So I have a question, like, to maintain this growth trajectory and operating profitability, what generally the tech capex we going to initiate in coming years, considering, you know, to maintain this growth trajectory, generally in tech platform or tech-led businesses, maintain the growth happy as new initiatives required. So if you can guide on tech capex. And also, this is amortization part, like what in coming years, it will going to be in the similar range in line with what revenue growth will be or it will lower. Yeah.
Hi, Chirag. So in terms of tech capex, right, we've done the heavy lifting on the tech capex over the course of the last 2 years, right? So there is a significant amount of investment that we've already made in terms of building out our expense management solution, enhancing our corporate travel platform, doing a lot of work on the AI automations and the agentic bots. So the heavy lifting to a great extent on the tech capex has been done. And now it's more, you know, closer to maintenance capex. There are still, let's say, some pockets where we need to enhance the platform, but the vast majority of it has been done. So we should not see any significant increase from here on in terms of capex, right? Whatever levels you're seeing right now, we would expect, you know, capitalization and depreciation and amortization to be at current levels plus minus 10%, right? That's the kind of range in which I would expect this to be from, let's say, next year onwards? At this point of time, there will still be some tail of projects which are currently in working capital, sorry, in capital work in progress, which will get capitalized, you know, in the coming quarters. But next quarter onwards, next year onwards, we will see stability in this number. So we won't see a very significant change in terms of our CapEx, right, going forward.
Thank you. All the best.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Kush Gosrani from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks, Dhruv, for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. Two bookkeeping question is, one, we have seen a drastic reduction in ESOP charge on the P&L. So if you could highlight what would be the trajectory of the ESOP cost going ahead, and is a new pool being created?
So at this point, you know, we would expect ESOPs to be in this kind of range only. We'll see a little bit of increase from this, right? But not a very significant increase from this, you know, at least in the near term. With regards to creation of a new pool, I think that's something that we will look at in the next financial year. So at least at this point of time, we are not seeing any significant change in the ESOP cost.
Got it, sir. And in the other services, we have seen a good decline in this quarter. So this is only because of some seasonality element? How should we look at that part?
Yeah, that's more seasonality, especially when it comes to seasonality and macro factors, because, you know, freight business, because of all this tariff up and down, got disrupted a little bit, right, in the months of especially April and May. So that's the reason why you see the other services number come down right now. So it was a difficult quarter for freight, given the seesaw that we saw on tariffs.
Got it. Got it. I'll get back in. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks, Kush.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
So
I will have more than a couple of queries, but I will be pretty quick. So I would just request, please allow me to have those queries. First up, wanted to understand on the GTV side, I mean, yeah, our volume growth is 9%, but our revenue growth is 108%. So you mentioned this volume growth is lower because of some rebalancing between B2C and corporate. But then how our revenue growth is so high? I mean, can you just explain me through, so how is this happening?
Yeah, so given the revenue growth number that you're seeing, that is also partially on account of the accounting of MICE. So the better measure that we've been speaking about for the last now 5-6 quarters is to look at the revenue less service cost. Okay. Now, gross bookings were up 9%. Revenue less service cost was up about 45%. The reason revenue less service cost grew at a significantly higher pace to gross bookings was on account of multiple factors, led by one, optimization of discounting. So the kind of consumer promotions and discounts that we were giving, we've been able to optimize that. We've been able to work with banking partners to be able to get better kind of offers that we can provide to our customers without needing to discount the same proportion from our pocket. Second, it's the higher mix of hotels and packages. Hotels and packages have net margins closer to about 11% compared to about, you know, 3-4% net margin for air. Our mix of hotels and packages year over year has changed from about 15% of gross bookings to about 20% of gross bookings, right? And the third, again, is in terms of the change in business mix, we've got a much higher share now of corporate travel as opposed to B2C. B2C does have a higher amount of couponing and marketing, so net retention on corporate tends to be better. So these are the factors on account of which, while we've had 9% growth in terms of gross bookings, revenue less service cost has grown at about 45%. Okay, so it's okay, better margin realization. Yeah.
Okay. I got it. And so what sort of gross booking growth we are targeting for this entire year, FY26? Against 9%?
So FY26, we will see, you know, maybe closer to about 15%. for the full year in terms of gross booking growth. And going forward, our endeavor is to be, you know, closer to about 20% in terms of gross booking growth.
Okay, so this year about 15% and overall maybe from next year onwards 20%.
That's right. So in terms
of our guidance, is aren't we conservative when we are saying we want to see 30% growth in adjusted EBITDA?
So, you know, having been on the other side, when we did the IPO, we had come out with certain expectations around profitability, and the macro environment changed significantly, right, which led to us not being in the first few quarters, being closer to where we had not guided, but where we had indicated. So this time around, we'd rather be conservative and beat those numbers as opposed to give out a more aggressive guidance.
Okay. I got it. And in terms of parameter you mentioned, in terms of gross margin, I mean 21% to 25% to 30% in 36 months and 25% in 12 months. So what exactly is the parameter we are talking here?
So this is the margin of EBITDA to gross margin. So revenue less service cost to EBITDA ratio.
EBITDA to gross profit.
That's right. EBITDA to gross profit, yeah.
And gross profit we are calculating based on revenue less service, right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. And just one last thing from my side. In terms of holding structure, I mean, can you throw some light? I mean, in terms of US and India, how is the holding structure?
So we have a, you know, US listed entity, which is the Holdco. And that Holdco owns about 65% of India. And India then has about 35%, which is, you know, public and institutional shareholding, largely institutional shareholding.
Okay, so India entity about 65% is held by your Holdco, which is a US listed entity.
That is right, yes.
And remaining 35% would be, okay, fair enough. That's pretty clear and very helpful. And thank you for allowing me questions.
Sure.
Thank you so much. All the way. Thank you, Deepak.
We have our next question from the line of Partha Agarwal from Bastion Research. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question was more around, so I read somewhere in the presentation that almost 70% of your transactions are being done via, you know, basically a SaaS platform that has been integrated with customers' ERP or HRMS system, right? So my question is, you know, what kind of stickiness can the customer have, right? Is it easy for him to move to, let's say, MakeMyTrip or some other, you know, vendor, or it could be, you know, bit difficult for them?
So, Path, I think that's an excellent question. So in terms of customer stickiness, right, that is the beauty of the product that we are building. Our product integrates quite tightly with the customers, and that introduces switching costs on the side of the customer. So if I look at our top 100 customers, right, 73 of our top 100 customers have been with us for more than 5 years. Right. So that gives you the kind of retention that we have, right? And our annual retention rate is upwards of 97%. So it's a highly sticky proposition. Right, and that's what gives us this kind of high operating leverage in the business.
So essentially, I can assume that at the same time, it would be difficult for you to gain new customers from your competitors because of this same stickiness. So can I assume
there is a big difference in that, right? That from an online penetration point of view, right, we are the guys who are the leaders in the market when it comes to online penetration. Most of our competitors still service customers in the offline manner, right, with minimal amount of integration. That is why for us, there is a large opportunity right now to go and penetrate into the digital adoption that's happening in mass across the industry, right? More and more companies want to digitize their business processes, and that's what's driving the growth on the corporate side for us.
So, and secondly, so as far as I know, Yatra does not allow railway booking, right? So if I am a corporate and I want to book a railway travel because of lack of connectivity to a flight, so I will have to, you know, get out of the Yatra platform and...
We do allow rail bookings as well. We do offer rail bookings for our corporate customers. Yeah.
Okay. Just a final question from my side. So you have a website, Yatra Corporate, where if I right now go and onboard myself, so is it counted as a plus one out of the 34 customers that have onboarded in the quarter, or is there some different metric to the other 34 customers that you've onboarded?
No, so the 34 customers who are there are on the managed corporate side. So these are customers who will typically have upwards of like 5 crores of annual corporate travel spend. So anyone signing on the website in general with a GST number typically qualifies as an SME customer and not as a managed corporate travel customer.
Got it. That's all from my side. Thank you so much and best of luck for the coming days.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Aman Jain from Paras Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Congratulations for good set of numbers. Just a couple of questions. Do you have any product superiority for winning the corporate business? Is it to distribution? And secondly, within this, what's the annual new signups we are targeting since we added 200 crore of new business in the current quarter? Thank you.
Sure. So on the corporate side, you know, we have multiple levers, right, which are driving this kind of growth for us on the technology front. We offer an integrated self-booking tool platform with expense management to our corporate customers with very advanced analytics as well, which are available on a real-time basis or near real-time basis to our corporate customers. Our tool has multiple functionalities from, you know, being able to show the corporate rates, the retail rates, especially negotiated rates, all of those in one single window to the corporate customer, which allows them to be able to choose whatever is the most appropriate for them. The kind of rules and policies that we can configure on our corporate platform are extremely evolved compared to most other products that are available in the country at this point of time. And that becomes a big win factor for us when it comes to large corporate deals, right? So, you know, I'm talking about the likes of customers like, let's say, an EY, PwC, KPMG, BCG, right? So these are the kind of large corporate customers that we service, where we provide these kinds of technology solution, which is very customizable to the needs of the corporate customer and offers an integrated flow end-to-end from the approval process mechanism to the booking to then the filing of the expense.
Okay, wonderful. And any new acquisitions plan? And can you also expect going forward, breakup between the B2C business versus the corporate business, since that is not specifically called out?
At this point of time, our B2B, B2C mix is about 60, late 60s of gross bookings coming from B2B and early 30s in terms of percentage of gross bookings coming from B2C. Our expectation would be that, you know, by next fiscal year, this would be closer to about 70-30 with 70% of our gross bookings coming from B2B segment and about 30% coming from B2C.
Okay, and currently it is a late 60s for B2B, right?
Sorry, Aman, the last part was not clear.
And you said currently we are in late 60s for B2B business.
Yes, late 60s. Yeah. We are around 66, 67 at the moment in terms of B2B business. So this for the full year, we would expect this to be closer to about 70%.
And last question. In general, why are volumes falling on air? Since we've checked numbers for other listed competitors like Ipsigo or MakeMyTrip globally, their Q-on-Q, Y-o-Y, both volume I'm talking about, is rising. Right. And you also mentioned earlier in the call that you're getting superior volume incentives. But if you look at absolute numbers, the volumes are actually falling. So how are we getting those better margins, though the absolute number of the falling?
So the volume is changing on account of the mix between B2C and B2B. So what we have done is given up some of the low value kind of bookings which are there on the B2C side where the customer is extremely price sensitive and an absolute discount shopper. Those are the ones that we have willingly given up, right? And focus more in terms of driving from corporate customers where the average ticket size is about 1.5 times higher than the B2C platform. So it's the rebalancing of the mix between the business which has resulted in this volume decline. As we move forward, as we begin to baseline this, we will start seeing volume begin to grow, you know, gradually in the coming quarters. But it's the last year, it's been more of an issue of baselining or rather rebalancing the business between the two parts of B2C and B2B.
Okay. And specifically on the volume incentive part, since the volumes are actually falling and still we're getting incentives, is that...
No, the volume is rising. The volume is rising on the corporate side, right, where the incentive is coming from. So B2C volumes are falling, right? So if I don't know if you're familiar with us, but in the last fiscal year, let's say if we were to take FY24, our mix was more heavily skewed in favor of B2C, right? So it's been a gradual rebalancing of the business away from B2C into the more profitable and higher net margin B2B business.
Okay, so airlines are looking at as a source for acquiring even B2B customers rather than just low-end B2C customers.
That is right. And that is the reason, right? Because for an, let's take the case of an average domestic segment, right? On the B2C platform, it would be around 5,200, 5,300 rupees. On the B2B platform, it would be about 7,500 rupees, right? Corporate travelers will book at the last minute. They will book much more flexible fares. Those are the places where the airlines also make money, right? Airlines don't make money on a customer who's booking 30 days in advance and buying the cheapest fare.
Got it. All right, cool. All right, thanks a lot. Congratulations on a good set of numbers and hoping for the best going forward as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, please restrict yourself to only 2 questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Tejas Gutka from Electrum Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Good to see some encouraging results. Quick question. I remember...
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Tejas. Your voice is quite muffled. Can you speak through your headset?
I'm actually talking through the headset.
Okay.
Let me try that again. I remember last year we reduced our employee base, and you mentioned today as well that because of the chatbot, you're looking at reducing employees further. Also, as probably B2B, the mix grows, I'm assuming we do need to add a lot of employees, but I see that operating expenses are still growing at a healthy clip. So just some thoughts on that. I also remember you mentioned that the ESOP cost would probably just go away completely this year, but sometimes, like you said, that they'll probably go up a little more. So what's happening there?
Sure. Hi, Tejas. So in terms of, you know, the other expenses, the year-over-year growth is largely on account of the inclusion of Globe's numbers. If I look at on a sequential basis also, there isn't a significant increase in the other expenses numbers quarter on quarter. In terms of...
Should that remain at this level? Do you think it will grow further from here on in line with the top line growth?
No, it won't grow anywhere close to the top line growth level. It will grow at a much slower pace than the top line growth numbers.
Understood. And on ESOP?
And on ESOP, as you would have seen, our ESOP cost has come down pretty significantly year over year, right? And what you're seeing at this point of time is largely the tail effect of it that's left off.
Understood. And last bit is, you know, any update on the expense management software that, you know, we were piloting?
The expense management software is currently being piloted with a few customers and it's got, you know, very positive feedback. We've now put a full-fledged team in place to be able to take that to market. So we will, you know, or rather we've already started pushing that much more actively now, given that, you know, we've got very positive feedback from the initial customer.
So we should expect that maybe in a few quarters down the line, we'll still start reporting numbers on this one. I'm assuming right now we don't make a lot of revenue on this.
No. At this point of time, the revenue numbers are still relatively small. But my sense is it's only in next fiscal year that you will start seeing meaningful revenue because, you know, expense management also, you know, as we sign up customers, it first will have a 2 to 3 month kind of gestation period of sign up customers, or even if it's a cross-sell customer, right, it will have a month or two of a sales process and then it will go through a month or two of implementation as well, right? So it's only in the next fiscal year that you will see the numbers coming in from the sale of software or expense management solutions.
Understood. Thanks. That's all from me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, please restrict yourself to only two questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. We have our next question from line of Suresh Pal from KRSB Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. I have two questions. My first question is, what is the growth guidance that you have given to some earlier participants? And my second question is a qualitative question. Sir, as I'm new to the company, so I can see that from last three quarters, the top line has been more or less stagnant. However, the EBITDA and PAT numbers has been rising quite fast. So can you explain this phenomena? These are my two questions, sir.
Sure. So in terms of the guidance for the year that we've given is we've given a 20% growth in gross margin and we've given a 30% growth in EBITDA, right? That's the guidance that we've given out. In terms of the second part of your question around why, from an overall point of view, while you're seeing volumes remain stagnant or, you know, gross bookings remaining flattish, but profitability improving, it's because of the change in the business mix that's happening. So over the last year and a half, we've been working towards driving more and more of our business coming in from corporate customers. And the corporate business has higher operating margins as compared to the B2C business. So this is the culmination of that strategy that we had adopted about, you know, almost 18-odd months ago to push more aggressively on the corporate side and become a more dominant corporate player. So these are the results of that you're seeing.
Okay, and sir, just a follow-up on the first question, sir. If our EBITDA grows by 30%, then our PAT should grow even faster, right, due to operating leverage that you just explained.
That is right. Yeah, we will see faster PAT growth, yeah.
Thank you, sir. That's all.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Kush Gosrani from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. I was just reading your SEC filing. There is a note that by October 13th, there should be a minimum share price of $1. So if we do not meet that criteria for some reason, how should the delisting process move ahead then? Or what would happen?
So is there
any penalty you would have to pay?
No, there's no real complication in that. Because you can simply, as a company, you can do a reverse stock split.
Okay. Got
it. Yeah. So there's no complication in that. Yeah, that's just more of a procedural thing.
Got it. Okay. Sure. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Swapnil Podduke from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Couple of questions. First is that we have been mentioning this annual billings potential of new corporates every quarter. And if I were to look at your numbers for the last 2 years, that number adds up to around 1,300 crores of this new potential billings. Now, I would like to understand how much of that has been realized in the past for all these billings. I mean, so while it optically, in my opinion, that number looks good, 200 crores of your new billings and getting added every quarter, but how much is actually getting realized, if you can start sharing that number, will be great going forward. Yeah.
But just to give you a sense at this point of time, right? So out of the 1,300, about 750 odd was in the last fiscal year, right? And what was signed up in the last 6 months of last fiscal year is typically what would currently be in the process of implementation. If you look at the, for example, I'll give you one example out here, right? If you look at the standalone hotels business, right, you've seen a, you know, strong jump happening sequentially as well in the standalone hotels business. So net of MICE, that is happening on account of implementation of customers who were acquired in the previous quarters. So we would today have a situation where maybe about out of this, you know, let's say 1,300 odd crores, about 600 odd would have 600 to 700 would have been implemented.
Okay. So, is there any particular reason why the entire 1300 crores or a number closer to that we have not been able to get through?
See, it goes through an implementation cycle, right? So typically, you know, depending on the level of customers, there will be a larger integration cycle as well, which will be there, right? So customers who would have been acquired in the last quarter of last year, for example, that will still be, you know, in the process of implementation, and some of the customers from the previous quarter as well will still be in the process of implementation. So that's why I'm saying, so 700 plus would have been implemented by now, and I know, you know, at least, you know, the balance is currently in the implementation pipeline, and you will start seeing the effect of that in the coming quarters.
Got it, got it. And the second question is on your organic growth. So there was a question earlier too, I think, X of Globe, if you were to look at your bookings, revenue and EBITDA, if you can just break it down, you know, some color on the organic growth there. And please do not include Globe numbers in that.
Yeah, so, you know, we don't call that out separately, but just to give you an indication, and I'll repeat the same answer that I gave the gentleman earlier, Swapnil, that in terms of organic growth, if you were to look at from an EBITDA point of view, the organic growth in EBITDA as well would have been upwards of like 70 to 80%.
No, but and what about the top line side, bookings or revenue, any sense on that side?
So on the revenue side as well, Globe's impact on our revenue would be about, you know, maybe around 12% odd, right? So we would be upwards of 30% on revenue as well organically.
So this is the YOY number you're suggesting?
I'm referring to the YOY. Yeah. So if you were to look at revenue less service cost, right, that's the main measure that we look at, which has grown 45% year over year. On an organic basis as well, that would have grown upwards of 30%, and EBITDA would have grown upwards of like 70-80% on an organic basis. Yeah.
Got it, Guru. Very, very clear. Thanks a lot for that clarification.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Soham from RV Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I'm audible.
Yes.
Sir, when we say this, you know, 34 customers we have added with a billing potential of 201. So this gets added into our 1300 large and medium corporate customers, right?
That is right. Yeah.
So, sir, if you can tell me, like, in the last.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. We can't hear you. Your voice is quite big.
Hello. I'm audible.
No, sir.
Hello.
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Yeah, so sir, when we say this 34 customers we added with a potential of 201 gets added to our large and medium corporate customers. So in the last 3 fiscal year, if you can tell me how many of these 1300 have been active with us and the revenue potential of them, annual revenue potential.
So yeah, what I was just answering Swapnil as well. So out of the 1300 crores which are there, we've already got 700 plus crores which is trading, and the balance will end up getting implemented as part of the, you know, subsequent quarters in the next quarter or two. So it's always a waterfall which will be there, right? So customers, you're acquiring customers, and then depending on the size of the customer, you are seeing customers being implemented in a, you know, let's say average 190 to 180 day kind of cycle.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Aman Jain from Paras Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yes, last question, please. And most of the questions have been answered. Any new acquisitions planned? And what is the worst quarter for the corporate business? That's it.
So, you know, in terms of acquisitions, we continue to keep our eyes and ears open for good opportunities that we come across on the, especially on the corporate side or on technology solutions that can fit in within our corporate platform. So we continue to evaluate those as we move forward.
And what is the best quarter for the corporate business and what's the worst one?
The worst quarter for corporate business will typically be the third quarter, because that has then the Christmas New Year break and the Diwali Dashera break, right? So you see a large number of corporates being off during those days. And in terms of seasonally best quarters will typically be Q2 and Q4. So part of Q1, so you will see corporate travel being strong middle of May onwards, all the way through till end of September, before you get into the Diwali Dashera break. And then again, it will start picking up in the first week of Jan, and then be again strong till 31st of March.
All right. Okay. Thank you. That's it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We have another follow-up question from the line of Moksh Ranka from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, I just had a question on your U.S. holding company. So I just wanted to ask, is there any plans to delist it? Yeah, that's my question.
Yeah, so Moksh, you know, we are working on that. We put out some, you know, press releases earlier as well that we are working and evaluating a process, and we think we have a solution in place. And we should be, you know, it's hard to commit to a firm timeline on that because there are multiple jurisdictions involved. There's, you know, Cayman, there is US, there is Singapore, Cyprus. So there are multiple jurisdictions which are involved in that, but that's something that we are actively working towards.
Okay. And yeah, that's my only question. Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Vinay Nankarni from Hathway Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have just one question. I'm a little intrigued with your DIA AI chatbot. Can you just elaborate what exactly does it do?
So, hi Vinay. What we are trying to do with DIA, which is, you know, basically over and above the kind of customer servicing that you would see, right? Customer servicing is the most standard part where you can, you know, cancel your, you know, ticket, you can ask cancellation charges, you can ask for your e-ticket, right? Those are the more basic things. What we are trying to do out here over and above that is see how do we refine search. So if, for example, if I look at the traditional way of doing a search online, I come in, I enter 5-6 parameters in the search results, you know, box, and then I get maybe, if it's a flight, I get maybe 100 options. If it's a hotel in a city, I might get 1,000 plus options. What we are aiming to do is see how do we help the customer make his search much more contextual. So I can say, give me a flight on IndiGo day after tomorrow between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m., right? And we will try and find you that specific flight, right? You could say, I want a hotel near, let's say, Andheri, which has 1, 2, 3 kind of amenities, has a swimming pool, offers breakfast, has a restaurant, right? And it will show you the more refined search options. That is what we are working towards. We do feel, and obviously, you know, this is an iterative process and it is much more complex than what I'm making it sound. But ultimately, we want it to be a scenario where as a customer, you can be as specific as you want and not have to filter through hundreds of results to get to the one hotel that you want to book or the one flight that you want to book.
Okay. Will DIA help me in scheduling my day for a leisure travel when I am on a trip?
So it will give you itineraries, it will give you suggested itineraries of recommended things to do. You could say, you know, what are the kind of things that would be recommended for a family of four with two young kids, right? You could ask for, you know, questions around what would be the ideal thing for teenagers to do in this city. Those are the kind of things it can recommend to you, in addition to what I'm talking about on the search side.
Great. And how many of your corporate travelers, employees of the corporate travelers, when they are on MICE tours, use your app?
So this app is a very recent initiative, right? This has just been launched. So
So it's very early to say on the chatbot how many of them will actually use the bot. But I feel, you know, that's from an opportunity point of view, offers a very large opportunity for cross-sell. That's the whole logic behind it, that when people are in destination, how do you become an enabler for them to be able to find out what else can they be doing when they're in the destinations? Similarly, you know, the concept of entire blending of business travel and leisure is also happening quite actively. So if you're a business traveler in a particular city and you have a few hours free, right, it can also prompt you that these are the activities based on your profile, which would be the right thing for, you know, the interesting things for you to look at. But those are all, you know, evolutionary steps that we are working on.
Thanks, Drew. Thanks for the answer and all the best.
Sure. Thank you so much, Vinay. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, and thank you everyone for taking out the time. As you would have seen from our numbers, our business is well poised for sustained growth. We've got strong momentum behind our business, and we look forward to your active support and participation as we move forward in this journey. So thank you for your time this morning. Thank you, operator.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.